Yeah, big game for number 18, ASU. They will host Washington State Saturday afternoon at Sun Devil Stadium. Here to talk about it, color analyst for the Sun Devil Radio Network, Rose Bowl MVP, Jeff Van Rapport, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Jeff, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. We've been talking a little bit about this matchup. Tell me if you agree with me. I think ASU coming off a bye, even though Washington State's coming off a bye, I think they're getting the Cougars at a good time. Do you agree?
Well, tell me more. Are you saying just from the standpoint of win-loss record and energy or what?
Just their last two offerings, blowing that lead to UCLA and then getting pounded by Utah. Their defensive coordinator quit. I think there's a lot of moving parts with Washington State right now, and I don't think they're all good.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. You know, it's always interesting what transfers over to a game. To me, you know, whatever you can do to maintain focus during the week, I think helps. Kind of weird that, you know, HBO's in, or mm-hmm. I believe it's HBO, doing that show, kind of a college hard knock show. So that's a little bit of a distraction around the program this week, all these TV cameras. But by and large, I'll buy what you're saying.
All right, let me ask you this, because I think this is interesting, because you got a young team, as you mentioned, staying focused might be an issue. 29 freshmen. What attributes do you have you in your experience seen from college teams that are able to click off conference victory after conference victory and put together a great season like you were part of versus the ones that have ups and downs and ups and downs?
Good question. I think one, first off, is defense and running game. I think, you know, too much attention a lot of times is given to the quarterback or running back, and it's really the guys up front that make it go. But, you know, teams that are – if you can be physical on both sides of the ball, I think that really travels well, especially in the Pac-12, which doesn't play a super physical brand of football.
Jeff Van Rapport, color analyst for the Sun Devil Radio Network, our guest here on Bickley and Murata as ASU getting ready to take on Washington State. There's been so much talk, and for good reason, about Jaden Daniels, the true freshman quarterback. As somebody who played that position at ASU, what have you seen? What are your impressions from what you've seen from the freshman so far?
You know, I mean, I'm just really impressed with his composure, his decision-making, you know, his accuracy. He does so many little things right during a game that you just kind of you gloss over it. You don't give him the credit for it. You know, for example, stepping up in the pocket, you know, not just trying to look for freedom and get out of there. So many times, you know, young high school quarterbacks are, when the pocket gets compressed around them, they're not used to that. You know, they're used to throwing the ball 2.2 seconds. Everything's bubble screen, zone read, and move. But Jaden makes great decisions. He hasn't put the ball in jeopardy. He's kept his composure, doesn't get flustered. You know, there's so many. If you clicked off all the attributes that you'd want in a leader, you know, he's checking all the boxes at the highest level.
All right. Herm Edwards this year, compiled with what he did last year, there have been some national observers who have said, okay, this is the guy who's going to wake the sleeping giant. As a guy who's been in the program and experienced a lot of success, what do you think of that phrase, sleeping giant? Is there a brand new future and a higher ceiling for ASU football perennially, or are there things about it that make it more difficult than people from the outside see?
You know, I think that I would have answered that question differently 5 years ago. I'm buying the Herm Edwards. You know, I wouldn't even say, you know, last year I would have said it's an experiment. Let's wait and see how it happens, right? And I went on record last year saying, hey, you know, ask me in 2 years, because I wanted to see year one, and then I wanted to see the adjustments between year one and year two. But, you know, I'm buying in now early, because they got a great coaching staff, and it's interesting, you know, when you've got Marvin Lewis, Kevin Mawai, Derek Hagan, you know, these guys walking around the program that are, quote, consultants. Uh-huh. Now you've got coaches coaching the players. You've got resources and a second set of eyes available to kind of, you know, really help that coaching staff get better. And I think that's one thing that probably gets lost in analysis, is how good is your staff. Remember when Bruce Snyder was here, you know, at one point he had Bruce Snyder and Phil Snow, and he had all these guys. I think he had three coordinators on his staff at one time. And I remember asking them, I said, you know, what's it like in the meetings? They said, you know, it's really nice early in the week because we can formulate a game plan quickly. And that's so important when you only get, you get 20 hours a week with a student athlete, and three of them are taken up for game day.
Mm-hmm.
So you get 17 hours of practice time. So the sooner that you can be, have an accurate game plan and communicate that game plan of what's expected to these young kids, I think that just, I think, sorry, you're off the phone. I think it just really makes your success that much better. I mean, what, you know, you've been writing, you're a columnist, you write, what do you think, Vic? I mean, give me your take on the Herm Edwards show.
No, I'm right there with you. There were, Vinny and I talk about it. I've been wrong a lot, quite clearly, but I don't think I've ever been more wrong in my life about a guy and his impact. I did not see the value of how beloved he is at ESPN, those four magic letters, and I didn't see how that gentle touch of his would be such an asset at an age when I think the tyrannical coach is no longer palatable among younger kids. And you throw it all together, it's just the touch, the staff, the recruiting in California, which is something that has just been really hard to navigate. Yeah, I'm buying into it. I love the way you said it. I called it an experiment, too. I'm not calling it that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. You know, I mean, I was in the same boat you are. I remember reading your stuff. And, you know, when you look at the program, I think one thing that's come over this program, and you kind of use the same word, is just a calmness. Herm brings a calmness to the program, but yet somehow the bar is still very, very high. Remember, that was probably 9 months ago when he first got here, he said, yeah, I'm going to cut some guys. I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not the NFL. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. But it got everybody's attention, like, hey, look, you guys, you know, there's a standard here, performance level expectation that needs to be met, and I'm not going to jump up and down and yell at you. You know, you're either going to do it yourself or you're not going to get it, you know, you're not going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time when I read that, I was kind of chuckling because everybody on the inside knew that's how it was. You know, and in fact, when I played, it was 1 year scholarship. So, you know, you had to go back in and you had to do something to really lose it. But I remember when I tried out with the Broncos, I asked this old veteran one day in the weight room early in camp. I just said, all right, just boil this down to me. What do I have to do to make this team? And he looked at me really simply and said, don't cut yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
And I thought, you know, I've used that a lot in life. Like, you know, when that's, you know, you cut yourself by not being prepared when the opportunity's there, you know, not taking advantage of a rep or a weightlifting or mental rep or whatever it is. But I thought that was good advice.
Yep, Jeff Van Raphorst, you can hear him on the call with Tim Healy, Sun Devils in Washington State on Saturday, 12:30 on ESPN, 6:20 a.m. He joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. In terms of where this program is right now, and I know Herm talked about it this week, Jeff, when he said, you know, about being ranked 18, like, now he's being asked questions about it. He doesn't want it to be a question in the future. But that ranking right now, I'll be honest, I sat and watched ASU against Sacramento State in that second game, and I thought, okay, this is a young team. It's going to be rebuilding. I'm shocked at the success that they've had since then because they didn't look very good that night. How surprised are you with this young group and 29 freshmen playing that they've been able to accomplish what they've accomplished to this point?
I'm mildly shocked. I mean, every year I always kind of go into it and say, don't pay too much attention to not having, you know, a bunch of starters back. You know, look at, can you develop players? Can you put people into a system to be successful? But they've exceeded my expectations. You know, and if you look at this team, you know, rankings are a dangerous thing, right? Because it's somebody else's prognostication of what they think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, all the bowl games, everything all works itself out. You know, you could, if you didn't want to sell magazines and have radio shows, you could just say, look, let's all get together in December and we'll just take a look at the stats and figure out who's the best. It's real simple. It's all numbers. And as we go through this whole discussion of rankings is tough because I think there's a lot of fragile teams. I think everybody below 10 is pretty much, you know, can be considered a fragile team because they have a lot of weaknesses.
All right, last question, Jeff, and really appreciate your time and your insight. You're great. When you look at, you mentioned about how college programs get 20 hours with these kids a week and 3 hours are in game day. It just sounds so asinine that these people who can impart so much maturity and wisdom into them are limited in terms of the scope of what they can do with them. We're talking about the NCAA and all this endorsement issue and all this kind of stuff. Big, broad-based question. Is there a better way of conducting college football for its athletes?
Yeah, there's a better way. The question is going to be, and we've had this, I've had this a lot in the last month, like on payment. You know, if you're what was Zion Williams worth last year at Duke? You know, and then the question is, if you got a T. Boone Pickens or a Jerry Jones or Phil Knight, and you really want a player, what's to prevent him from going out and buying 20,000 bobbleheads, putting them all over Eugene and Oregon, and paying you money? You know, and that's where it gets sticky, because somebody, there's always rules and people always break them. My personal take on it is, the one thing I'd like to see in the discussion is some kind of insurance trailer, because there's a lot, you know, 98% of the players don't make it to professional league, and, you know, plus or minus, you know, half point or maybe point, I don't know, but, you know, call 97% don't make it. But of that 97%, what percent are injured or have been injured or have had surgery? And how does that manifest itself when you're, you know, 40, 45, 50 years old?
Yeah. Jeff, great stuff as always.
Hey, what's your guys' take? Thumbs up, thumbs down on NCAA paying athletes or no? Real quick.
We just had the discussion not too long ago, actually, before you joined us, and I'm for it, I guess, because there's so much money to be had, and these kids are generating a lot for their university. So if a business wants to step up and compensate them, I think that's only fair. And, you know, maybe it's petty on my part, but if the NCAA has a problem with it, I'm probably in favor of it. But yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of moving parts and unanswered questions where it could get sticky in certain situations. Like, you know, where is a student from? California's got this law in the books that takes effect in 2023. Is the kid we're talking about a California resident? Does that matter? Does the corporation that's, you know, paying him, do they have to be based in California? I think there's a lot of answers that need to come out.
Well, one more question for you. You know what I say is more of a comment. What I find hysterical is, you got the NCAA, which I think is kind of is a goofed up institution, and, you know, I can't quite figure it all out. They got a monopoly going. And then you're going to have the politicians step in and write a set of rules that's going to straighten out the NCAA. I mean, to me, it seems like two wrongs trying to make a right.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it is.
Jeff, appreciate the time and the insight. As always, we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.